Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to this Valentine's Day edition of Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donnellan in for Maria Bailey, and it is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you and yours. And since this show airs in varying stages, ages and stages of the week, the first one will be Valentine's Day, which is today, Sunday the 14th. But if it is not, and it's a couple days later, we hope you had an enjoyable Valentine's Day, and we wish you the best from the team at Mom Talk Radio. And of course, Valentine's Day is lots of hearts and flowers and romance. So I hope whatever happens today or happened on Valentine's Day made your heart happy. And when I thought about our Valentine's Day, which has changed, of course, dramatically once children came along, I thought, you know, it is interesting how it used to be a dinner date with a significant other or your spouse, and now it's, of course, maybe dinner with the kids or even breakfast in bed. And Valentine's Day certainly changes its course, as with some other holidays that are typically adult holidays. So a dinner date again turns into dinner with the kids and homemade cards instead of maybe, you know, a few years ago before kids, you got a gift and flowers, et cetera. And then not to say that you still can't do that. And my husband's actually very good about bringing flowers. And then, fortunately or unfortunately, our anniversary is in a week, so he has a double whammy. So I get two sets of flowers and the house is overrun with them for a couple of weeks and then they're all gone. So, but however you're going to spend your Valentine's Day or had spent it already, I hope it is good and with kids or without, that it is filled with love with someone special. And we are going to actually talk about another special part of motherhood, which is pregnancy. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Premama. And Premama is the prenatal vitamin that you drink. It's a powder form that you mix in a beverage or a smoothie. And you go to drinkpremama.com for information about this fabulous alternative to those awful horse pills. So if you are taking prenatal vitamins, and also there's two new items they offer now, a fertility formula if you're trying to get pregnant, and a lactation formula if you've already had your baby and are breastfeeding. Those are two really great alternatives are now available through Premama. And you can check in stores and online at CVS, Target, Amazon, and other specialty health food stores. And I heard a rumor that there might be a GNC rollout of Premama, which is obviously fabulous if you frequent that store. So check out drinkpremama.com on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. And again, if you go to their website, they've got some videos for you. They've got nutritional information, and they're all vegan, by the way, and made in the USA. So check it out. And when we come back after this brief break, we are going to be joined by a great lineup of guests. We've got Dr. Vanessa LaPointe is going to be our first guest. She's going to be talking about discipline without damage, how to get your kids to behave without messing them up. We're talking to another parenting expert about how the collapse of parenting is the title of his book. We're also going to be talking to a fitness expert and the unique fitness needs of moms and how to get your body back in shape or get it in shape. If you were like me and you thought you had a year to do it and it's 8 years later and you still need to get back in shape. So, and we'll be talking to the Spotlight on Moms. We'll be talking to a mom who juggles homeschooling and an autistic child as well. So we've got some great topics lined up, and I hope you stay with us for the whole show. It's going to be a great show, and we will round out the show with a breastfeeding expert, speaking of Premama and their breastfeeding formula. So we'll talk to Gina Chiagni at the end of the show. So stay with us. When we come back, we will kick off this great episode of Mom Talk Radio with Dr. Vanessa LaPointe. Stay with us.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary in for Maria. And our first guest is Vanessa LaPointe. And she has been supporting families and children for over 15 years with her work as a registered psychologist and founder of the Wishing Star Developmental Clinic. So we are going to talk to Dr. LaPointe about her book called Discipline Without Damage, How to Get Your Kids to Behave Without Messing Them Up. Welcome to the show, Dr. LaPointe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you touch on one of the things I know for me, at least, and I'm sure for many parents, is one of the huge trigger points for, I guess, worry and guilt and anxiety is, are we messing them up when we discipline them? So give us a little bit about your book and what it's about.
Well, I'll tell you, the reason that I wrote the book is that working as a psychologist supporting children and their parents, one of the most frequent issues that we talk about in my office is discipline. And indeed, it's the most frequently requested topic that I have in terms of workshops that I present. And so the challenge with discipline is that we have become very focused on good behavior for our children and feel much judgment from the world around us when our children are not, quote, well behaved. And in being so focused on that, we've sort of lost sight of the reality that is child development and how many of the behaviors that our children present with don't need to have this sort of shaming value of being bad attached to them, but rather they're a normal part of development. And when we really embrace child development and we really understand what it is that children need to grow up in the best possible way, we see that we cannot put our connection with them, our relationship with them, on the line simply in the name of good behavior. And unfortunately, a lot of our more popular approaches to discipline do exactly that.
Right. So just dig a little deeper in that. So basically, the developmental phases of children is such that they will misbehave at points, and they will and they will need positive discipline. Are you saying not positive discipline or yes, positive discipline?
Well, yes, children will misbehave at points due to the reality that their brains are simply not mature enough to allow them to, quote, make good decisions every moment of every day. They're going to become dysregulated. They're going to melt down. They're going to lash out. They're going to steal a toy from someone when they should have shared. They'll do all of those things because their brains are immature. At the core of positive and healthy child development is this need for children to have a emotional connection with a caring big person or parent who's going to make sure that they come alongside the child, particularly when the child is undone, and settle and regulate that child. The regulation happens via that parent-child connection. And so if we are playing that connection against our children in order to ensure they're well-behaved, which we do when we time them out or take things away from them, we're actually walking ourselves into a troublesome sort of spot in terms of whether or not we might be interfering with healthy development for our kids.
Okay. So that sounds like a pretty key concept in the book. What other key concepts do you cover without giving the book away? Obviously, you want our listeners to buy it, but so what do we do? What's the alternative if, like you said, so just to make the connection with the child as they're and work them through them as the behavior.
Right. And so in the book, I actually talk about two levels of discipline. First is what we can do in the moment. So if we're going to be really emotionally connected and relationally focused for our children in the moment of misbehavior, what are some things that you can do that actually embody that kind of approach and still have your child feel like you're in charge and you're taking care of this? And I go through actually 9 key stepping stones to managing the moment and helping parents understand what that looks and sees and feels like. The second layer I talk about is what we can do all around the moment. So how are we working to be in charge of our children's development? How are we working to be in charge of their world and setting up that world optimally for their best development? And if we can come at discipline through those two layers, both knowing how to respond in the moment in a connection-focused way and also knowing how to set the world up around them, then we can wander our way through discipline without harming our children.
Okay, very interesting. And you know, so the second part where you were saying it just sounds, that's the proactive part. You set it up so that you're disciplining, you know, as you said, so you're not messing them up. But the first part is the hardest part to me. I know I had 2 children in 2 years, and my oldest was and they're different children. That was the difficulty for me, was just disciplining them so differently.
Sure.
But I remember that. That's so interesting that you definitely have key points and tips for parents in the book. Mm-hmm. Because to me, I would like to have known, wait, I had to stop. And I had one in a stroller and one in a shopping cart, and one was a toddler trying to run down the grocery store aisle. And I, you know what I mean? It was just like, what do I do in that moment? in the moment was the biggest thing to me, where I felt that's where I was going to lose it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really interesting. You know, once I get talking with people about really being connection-focused and relationship-focused and how we're disciplining our children, a lot of people become worried about what does it look like. And so I've been certain in the book to really breathe some life into what that would look like. But the second thing people become worried about is that this is going to be really airy-fairy, like group hug parenting approach.
Right, right.
And what I really want for people to know and to understand is that just because you are going to be kind to your children does not mean that you are going to parent in a way with no boundaries, no expectations, and no containment for them. You absolutely must be in charge, and you must be firm on the things that matter, but you must do all of that with kindness at the center of it.
Right. Oh, that's excellent. Very good advice. We only have about a minute left, so briefly talk about, you had said something about the discipline vortex. Can you briefly tell us, about 30 seconds?
The discipline vortex happens when parents respond to misbehavior with disconnection, focused responses like timeouts, consequences, removal of privileges, even reward charts. All of those things at the core break the relational connection with the child, propelling them into a further state of dysregulation. When they're in that state of dysregulation, they're much more likely to, quote, misbehave again. And so round and round we go with misbehavior responded to with disconnection.
I gotcha. Great. All right. So your website is Dr. Vanessa LaPointe, and that's LaPointe.com. And tell our listeners where we can find your book.
The book is available on Amazon.com and everywhere that books are sold.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And I think we just scratched the surface. So we definitely need to take a look at your book. Thank you so much. And congratulations on the publication and the launch of the book. And that was Dr. Vanessa LaPointe. And when we come back after this brief break, we'll shine the spotlight on moms. We'll talk to Melissa Harvey at AutismMommyAvenger.org. It's my favorite segment of Mom Talk Radio. We shine the spotlight on moms, everyday moms who are working, staying home with kids, etc. And today we are pleased to introduce Melissa Harvey. Melissa has two children, a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old, and her website is AutismMommyAvenger.org. What a great name. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Well, thank you.
Avenger and avenge is a great word. So, and you tweet at Autism Mom Avenge. So I guess I'm going to assume that's the title of your blog.
Yes.
And why did you?
Mommy Avenger.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about it, when you started your blog and what was the main reason to talk about autism?
Yes, I started my blog last year, a few months after my son was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism and sensory issues. And I just started it because I found that there's so much range of different levels of autism and, you know, everybody's story is different, and I wanted to get my story about my son and stuff we go through in everyday life out there to others, you know, just to help out also and bring a little bit more awareness to autism to people.
Absolutely. Everyone I know is obviously knows someone or is touched personally or someone they know with autism. So you homeschool your daughter as well.
Yes, that's a new thing for me this year. My daughter went to school the first few years, and this year we had a lot of changes. And one thing I decided to do was give homeschooling a chance and start her, because I would like to homeschool my son in the future because we have problems with him eloping and everything.
Right.
And so we gave it a try this year, and we're loving it. My daughter loves it, and she's doing well, and she's progressing great. And I love homeschooling her, and we go out, and we have fun days. We'll do our learning in a museum or an aquarium and stuff like that. And it also includes my son into it,
right,
which is a good thing for him too.
And so your son is the younger one. So you're assuming you'll homeschool him and your daughter as even she gets older.
Yes. Yes. I'm hoping to continue with her as she gets older, as long as she wants. I kind of let it up to her, but so far she wants to be homeschooled. And
That's great.
I'm going to start my son actually come this fall in just some preschool stuff. We're working with his OT therapist right now on starting to learn how to, you know, do lines and circles so we can get into writing and start that with him so that he can, we can try homeschooling with him and then see how it progresses.
Wonderful. So on your blog, do you talk about, you know, your almost like your daily journal with balancing your, you know, raising the son, your son, as well as homeschooling your daughter? Or do you talk more about autism resources?
It's kind of a little bit of each. I haven't gotten too much into the homeschooling yet, but I do want to start getting more into it. I talk about like different things we do that would be sensory friendly and autism friendly for children. Like we just went to a museum recently and I reviewed that. I do about keeping them safe. I did an article that actually was shared with the National Autism Association, shared my article about keeping your child safe from wandering because we do have a child who wanders. So that's a concern of ours. And I know of many parents of children with autism. So, you know, just tips and sharing. And a new thing I'm going to be starting this year is bringing other moms with children with autism onto my blog who are bloggers or just Facebook or tweeters, and bring them on to write articles about their children and their experiences so that I can have a range of not just my outlook on my child with autism, but many other people out there also.
Oh, that's great. And you actually almost answered my question, because I was going to ask if you've gotten, since your blog is relatively new in blogosphere years, if you've seen a lot of support and feedback from other moms with autistic children, because I know just working with moms over the many years in the blogosphere and now influencers, there's a tremendous support network out there.
Yeah, I actually love that I started the blog, because I feel like it brought me in touch with a lot of other parents with children on the ASD spectrum. And when we're having trouble with something, or he's having a meltdown I can't control, or I just have a question in general that I might not know the answer to, I'm able to reach out to these other bloggers and mothers of these children, and I've gotten a lot of good like feedback and tips and information, and it's just wonderful to have that support system. You need it when you have a child with autism, for sure.
No doubt. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Melissa, for joining us. And again, what's your blog?
Blog is autismmommyavenger.org.
Okay. And you tweet at Autism Mom Avenge, correct?
Yes.
Great. Good luck with the kids, and kudos to you for homeschooling. I always wanted to try that, and I never had the guts to do it. So I think it's so great. To me, it's so courageous to homeschool. I don't know that I just didn't. It wasn't me, you know, but good for you for doing that for both of your children.
Thank you.
And when we come back after this short break, we're joined by Dr. Leonard Sachs. Do you treat your kids like grownups? He's going to tell us why that could lead to the collapse of parenting. Stay with us.
You succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
This is Marian for Maria, and the doctor is in the house at Mom Talk Radio. I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Leonard Sachs to the show. He is the author of several books. He is a practicing family physician and a psychologist as well, in his spare time, it sounds like. And his latest book is called The Collapse of Parenting, How We Hurt Our Kids When We Treat Them Like Grownups. What a great title. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sachs.
Thanks for inviting me.
So what made you write the book? It sounds like you've written others called Girls on the Edge, Boys Adrift, Why Gender Matters. So you're obviously concentrating on children and, you know, in the younger years, but now you switched over to parenting. Was it a natural progression?
Well, all the books come from my experience as a family physician, as a practicing family physician. Mom brings her 6-year-old daughter in to see me. Child has a fever and sore throat, and I look at the ears, which are fine, and I go to look at the throat and tell the girl we're going to do a strep test.
Right.
But before I can do the strep test, Mom says to her daughter, "Is it okay if the doctor looks at your throat?" And The daughter looks at mom and considers the question and then says, no, I don't think so.
Of course not, right.
What should have been a 10-second procedure becomes a 5-minute ordeal requiring an assistant to restrain the child. Mom thinks she's doing the right thing, but she's not.
Okay.
In many domains of a child's life, the child should not be given a choice. The parent needs to give an order, a sentence that ends with a period. But I find many, many parents now are incapable of speaking in sentences that end in periods. Everything ends in a question mark. And
right. Why is that? Why is that? Why are we doing that? I hear that all the time, too. I hear mom, and I catch myself because I'll say, we're going to do this. Okay? Like,
right.
It's not okay for me to ask that question to them if it's okay.
No. And the consequences are very widespread. In the book, I show how this collapse of parenting has led directly to an explosion in the rates of psychiatric diagnosis among American kids. An American kid is now 14 times more likely to be diagnosed with attention deficit disorder compared to a kid in the UK, for example.
Right.
Tremendous rise in the rates of obesity among American kids. A great rise in the rate of fragility among American kids. And so this uncertainty that so many parents have, which they express in question marks, really harms their child. And you can make a change. It's not that difficult. The book is written for that parent who has that feeling that something's not right here. I'm not as effective as I could be. What do I need to do differently? That's the parent for whom the book is intended.
Wonderful. So you basically are very clear in the book about how to change that behavior, give the as parameters per se?
That's right. It depends to some degree on how old the child is, but I'm very concrete in my recommendations based on what I've seen from families that I've come to know well, and based also on what the published research teaches us. But you know, no screens at the dinner table. The family meal needs to be a priority. No earbuds in the car. When you're in the car, your child should be listening to you and talking with you, not listening to Justin Bieber on their earbuds. No screens in the bedroom. And when you go on vacation, your child is not allowed to bring their friend along. Otherwise, you're just subsidizing an expensive play date. The point of the vacation is for you and your child to reconnect.
Right.
So
that's
excellent. Lots of concrete strategies there.
Subsidized play date. That's great. And that's true because we're so worried about entertainment, I guess. I don't know.
Well, many parents are very concerned that their child be popular.
Yes.
And look, same age peers are important, but the child's relation to you, your relation with your child is far more important than their relation with their same-age peers. Cancel the play date and make a family date instead.
Absolutely. Great advice. And so you talk in the book, you know, you're basically telling parents how they can help their child be more creative, less stressed, be healthier physically and psychologically. What's in the book about that?
That's right. So a big change in American culture has been that parents matter less and peers matter more. Mm-hmm. So 50 years ago, Professor Joseph Coleman interviewed American teenagers across the United States and asked them, if all your friends wanted you to join a particular club, but one of your parents did not approve, would you still join? And 50 years ago, the majority of American teens said no, they would not join if one of their parents disapproved. The regard of the opinion of their parents mattered more to them than the combined opinion of all of their peers. I've posed an updated version of the same question to kids all across the United States over the last 6 years. I asked them, if all of your friends wanted you to join a particular social media site, would you bother to consult your parents first? And the most common answer I get is not yes, it's not no, it's laughter. The kids burst out laughing. As one girl said,
really?
Yeah, one girl said, why would I ask my parents? They probably think Ask FM is some kind of radio station. The opinion of same-age peers now matters much more than the opinion of parents. And that's one factor causing kids to be more anxious, because the regard of your peers, if you're a 14-year-old or a 9-year-old, is ephemeral and contingent. It can change overnight. It can change in 10 minutes. And so this girl is constantly checking her phone to see if there's a text message, because God forbid that she gets a text that she doesn't promptly answer, her friend might think that she's ignoring her, and they all know you can go from being the popular girl to being the odd girl out in 5 minutes.
That's correct.
If your whole self-concept is built around how many likes you got on your Instagram, you are going to be very fragile. If your self-concept is grounded in your parents' unconditional love and affection, then if your Instagram doesn't get any likes, who cares? It's not that important. The human species was designed for parents to be the prime figures in their life. Again, there's lots of good evidence supporting this. As I point out in the book, a four-year-old horse is an adult. A four-year-old child has barely begun. We have the longest childhood of any species on the planet, and there's a reason for that. It's for parents to teach kids what it means to be human, and that takes time. But in order to do their job, parents have to be the most important figures in the life of the child. And today, you find many American parents have lost sight of that. They're uncertain. They're insecure. They don't know what their role is.
Mm-hmm.
And the result is the collapse of parenting.
Right. So we can find more information about the book and your practice at leonardsax.com, S-A-X. And where do we find the book?
Well, at the moment, it's sold out. There's another printing in the works. In a week or two, it should be available again.
Wonderful. So it must be doing very well. Congratulations.
It's a New York Times bestseller. Yes, indeed.
Wonderful. Excellent. I should have looked. I apologize. I usually do my fact checks before the show, and I didn't have time this morning, so I would have known that. Where else can if we don't get it? So where do we get it when it comes back in stock?
Put your name in at the library, or you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of those places.
Okay, the big ones. Okay, cool. Thank you so much. What a fascinating topic. Again, Dr. Leonard Sachs, The Collapse of Parenting, How We Hurt Our Kids When We Treat Them Like Grownups, and leonardsachs.com. That link will be up on Mom Talk Radio next week. And when we come back, we'll round out the show. We'll be talking about fitness with Courtney Wyckoff. Stay with us.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
We're switching topics to fitness. I am pleased to welcome Courtney Wyckoff. She's a certified personal trainer and corrective exercise specialist with 16 years of experience in fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention and treatment. And you specialize, Courtney, in pre- and postnatal workouts. Welcome to the show and tell us a little bit about that.
Basically, Mama Strong is really focused on how we can strengthen a woman from the deepest part. So typically after a woman gives birth, they tell you to take 6 weeks off, and yet you're going home and doing some of the most physically demanding things with a newborn baby and very little sleep. You're not supposed to do anything to integrate your core. And in fact, a lot of women are scared to do anything. So they're really kind of put in a bit of a pickle where their body needs support, but they don't know what to do. So they usually wait those 6 weeks and then they jump back into fitness and usually do something that their body is not ready for. What happens after that is inevitably they get injured or they just don't get the results that they want. So what I do is I focus on that 6 week period of time and we kind of say, okay, what can you do safely? Well, you're going to be breathing. So why don't we do some dynamic breathing that helps to integrate the core and heal common conditions like diastases recti and other things. And through that, just in 2 weeks, women can integrate their core very effectively, and then they can go back to all their crazy exercise pretty quickly as well.
And I know you're not an MD as much, but would you say there's a difference in workout regimen in the 6 weeks between a C-section and a regular natural birth?
Yeah, that's one of the trickiest spots, really, is with the C-section. And, of course, there's so many more that are happening these days. But honestly, no matter what, even if you've had a C-section or a traumatic birth of any kind or just a normal birth, the same exercise is effective. So it's called abdominal bracing. And what you do is you start to activate the deepest muscle called the transverse abdominis. It wraps around the middle like a belt. And you activate that muscle, which helps to pull everything together. So while you're pregnant, the six-pack muscle separates. And that's normal and needed. But then, unfortunately, in this culture, we don't really wrap women, even after C-sections or regular birth, we don't wrap women to help support that comeback together. And through just simple breathing techniques, where we do this abdominal bracing method, you can start to pull that back together, which really helps healing for a C-section or any other type of birth as well. So it really, at that point, during the 6 weeks, of course, they don't want to do any high-impact stuff, but with Mama Strong, with C-sections, we have a special program where you can do that breathing in a lying-down position, literally in your bed.
Man, I had 3 C-sections, and every one I just kept. And, yeah, that space between, you know, where you can see basically on the anatomical chart, you know, the 2 sets of muscles, and there's that bridge in the middle, and I know mine just never went back to where it should have been.
I mean, unfortunately for women, and I think society in general, we tend to see the female body as changing dramatically and often negatively as after we've become mothers. And really, that's not the case. The female body is designed for this. And,
Absolutely.
You know, C-section is not normal. But yeah. Even then, our bodies are so resilient that with proper training at the right period of time, our body can actually get stronger. But most women like you and most women that I deal with have gone decades, literally with their abdominals not pulled back together and their organs hanging out.
I don't know about that. I better check into that.
It's very, very easy to heal, and you can screen yourself, and really in 2 weeks, even if you're decades out, you can begin to heal this issue.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to follow up with you after the show. You talk about, we're about halfway done, and we didn't get to, we have about 2 minutes to go. So briefly, let's touch on, you have so much to talk about, but winning ugly. Tell us a little bit about that. What do you mean by that?
That is my secret to success, I think, in business, but also in fitness. You know, moms are expected to do so, so much. And what happens is a lot of times we start things, we don't do them as we expect we should. And we just kind of crawl into a hole and hide, a whole shame cycle. And so winning ugly is really the attitude of, like, it's not going to look pretty. I don't know any positive change or any new habit that you form that's really sustainable that starts with a very pretty start. It just doesn't. There's lots of failures. It doesn't happen any other way. So with my business, for instance, I film every day in my living room, come rain or shine. I'm often not in the mood. I often have sick kids. I have, you know, the doorbell ringing and things like that, but I get those 15 minutes done. And it always is winning ugly. And that's the secret to consistency. And consistency is the secret to actually making change in your body. If you're willing to win ugly, you're willing to fail, then you can start to build that into your life as a practice, a daily practice. And that's where you see the change.
So there's hope for me yet. So thank you so much for joining us, Courtney. And again, it's at mamastrong.com, MOMMA strong.com. And best of luck. After this short break, we'll close the show with Gina Chanye. She is Lansinoe's Global Vice President, Healthcare Relations, and a nationally recognized expert on breastfeeding. Stay with us. We're rounding out another fabulous edition of Mom Talk Radio with our guest, Gina Chanye. She is Lansinoe's Global Vice President, Healthcare Relations, and is a nationally recognized expert on breastfeeding, a La Leche League International trained breastfeeding peer counselor. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Gina.
Thank you.
You are a very sought after speaker and media source. You've been on The Bump, CNN, Fox News. So tell us what your role is at Lansinoe.
I am our chief lactation counselor. I happen to be a former Lansinoe product user. I breastfed and pumped for both of my kids. So I advise moms and healthcare providers on breastfeeding, the ins, the outs, the basics about breastfeeding and breast pumping, and also advise on our products to ensure that all of our products are really addressing solutions to any challenges that a breastfeeding mom would have.
Particularly for working moms, but any mom who's breastfeeding and is active and needs to be able to be on the go with her baby, what does Lansinoe offer for those moms?
Lansinoe offers a full suite of products for, again, any challenge that a breastfeeding mom would have. When a mom is starting to nurse, you know, breastfeeding is natural, but it doesn't always come naturally. And sometimes some products are needed in order to get her over any challenges like leaking, like sore nipples, like, you know, some protective products that will help, you know, latch a baby on so mom can get through those hurdles and she can continue breastfeeding her baby. And with working in particular, moms are often juggling breastfeeding while they're with their baby, but then also needing to address pumping, storing, mm-hmm. and feeding their breast milk.
That's one of the big challenges, I think, for working moms who then, you know, the maternity leave's over, they've got to make that adjustment. Give us some tips. What are your top tips for moms that you tell them?
It can be very isolating. Obviously, you have this baby, and babies are just starting to be fun and engaging, especially around the three-month mark when a lot of U.S. moms are going back to work. So it is bittersweet to have to leave your baby. But one of the ways to maintain that connection is by pumping when you're away. That is so you can have breast milk at home or at your daycare when your baby is apart from you, but also will help you maintain your supply. So it's really important that mom understands and really maps out a plan for when she goes back to work, where she's going to pump. You know, her employer under the Affordable Care Act will actually really need to provide a safe, clean place that's not the bathroom to pump, and she'll want to replicate her baby's feeding schedule to keep that supply up and also to keep milk, you know, when she and her baby are apart. It's also really helpful when this time is a very isolating time for her to make connections with other moms who are pumping at work, other moms who have gone through this experience. You often feel very alone, but you aren't the only one in this situation, and that's a lot of what Lansano does, is really provide that support and that guidance as you're going back to work, which is part of your breastfeeding journey.
Right. And that's great. So I breastfed all three of my children. So I did not work at the time, but I know, actually, sorry, on the third one I did. What am I thinking? And I remember it was very, to me, it was more the supply and demand issue. Like you said, when you get your body used to that schedule because you're not with them 24/7, that was the biggest challenge. But I remember having a neighbor who was a consultant, and she helped me out with that. So that's you're right. It's a great thing to have. It's a great resource if you provide that information to a lot of working moms who are pumping at work.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you basically, your baby is teaching your body how much milk to make. And again, it right. is supply and demand. Baby's teaching body. Body responds by making the milk. Milk goes out. Body replenishes. So you need to keep up that same type of schedule when you're back at work. Also, it's going to get a little uncomfortable if you're filling up right. with milk. You want to be able to relieve that, and pumping
yes.
that milk out will be really helpful.
Yes. My son, when he was, he's 15 now, but when he was a baby, he got sick and had, I think rotavirus, one of those things, but hospitalized kind of thing. And he was not eating. And oh my goodness, it was, I've never felt pain like that, even in labor. It was really, really bad. Mastitis, the whole nine yards, but we won't get into those horror stories at this point. Lansano's website, where can moms find information from Lansano's website?
Moms can find more information at lansino.com. It's lansino.com. We have a lot of supportive guidance articles. We have a Lansano Moms Club, which is an email program Great. Where moms can sign up when they're pregnant and get targeted age-specific information when they're pregnant and when baby is born, all about breastfeeding throughout the first year.
Right. And I actually remember using one of Lansano's products when I started with my son, first time ever, you know, first baby. So they are available nationwide at most major retailers, correct?
Products? Absolutely. Yes. Target, Walmart, Babies R Us, CVS, all mass specialty and baby stores as well, and grocery.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us, Gina, with this great information. And thank you so much, everyone, for joining us on this edition of Mom Talk Radio. You can find the links from our guests' websites and books on momtalkradio.com next week. And Maria will be back behind the mic next week for another terrific edition. Have a great week. And again, happy Valentine's Day.